10 minutes after 11. Beautiful, mashallah. Beautiful Tuesday morning on our program. Yes, the bliss of marriage. I know you were waiting. You were waiting for this day, my beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asman and Haji Yusuf Asman and company. And of course, the listeners of Merkez Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's the 6th of August 2019, which is also the 4th of Dhul-Hijjah, 1440. The days are coming down slowly and surely, my beloved beautiful listeners. One is the days of Hajj is around the corner. The other is Bakri Eid Qurban is just around the corner. And the other thing is 1440 is coming to an end, isn't it, my beloved beautiful listeners? Yes, my name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Salim Kareem Damat Barakatum, all the way from Ladysmith. Today is part one. I told the listeners every Tuesday between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, part one, the bliss of marriage. And of course, tomorrow again, part two, the bliss of marriage between 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I want to welcome my engineer this morning, of course, none other than Brother Tobella. I know somebody gave me a call this morning when I just woke up about 10 o'clock, all the way from Azizia, one of my friends, and he says, Maulana Arafat. In fact, they didn't say Maulana Arafat. They said, Ari, it's happening here. You are missing out. You guys are missing out. I said, you know what? Don't put that vibe. Don't put that vibe in me. I'll take the plane, the next plane, and I'll come there to Azizia. Let's go to my beloved Fadilatul Ustad on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Ustad, Ustad, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us
Ameen.
Istiqamat fi deen. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of also ziyarat of the Haramain Sharifain. And yes, your friend who called you, yes, he's making us envious. But it's okay, alhamdulillah, as long as he thought of you in such a mubarak place. You know, Hadrat Adam alayhi salam stood on the plains of Arafah. And made dua to Allah. Allahumma innaka ta'lamu hajati. Oh Allah, you know what I need. Oh Allah, you know my need. Fa'atini suli. Oh Allah, whatever I've begged and I've asked for, Rabbul Alameen, grant it to me. So inshallah, I'm sure all the hujjaj from South Africa are in all readiness, ready to go. As the countdown starts, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them.
Ameen.
And inshallah, there's nothing better than being in such beautiful environment where every way is just reminding you of the day of Qiyamah, Maulana.
Allahu Akbar.
When we all will be standing in Maidani Hashr, you know, there'll be thousands and thousands of people there. But remember, you're standing all alone with your amal.
Ya Allah.
Nobody there to help you. You have all the help you need in the world. People are there standing by. Alhamdulillah. Ji, waha hujum hoga. Like how you see on the plains of Arafat, millions of hujjaj all standing, supplicating to Allah. We all will be standing in front of Allah, Rabbul Alameen, waiting for hisab and kitab. And Allah will say, Iqra kitabak kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Iqra kitabak kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Allahu Akbar. Yes, your result. Read it. And each one of you, kafa bi nafsika alayka hasiba. Allah is going to ask you and me, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Every bounty Allah gave you and me, Allah is going to question us about it. Did you make shukr?
Allah,
did you appreciate it? Did you thank me? اللَّهُمَّ لَكَ الْحَمْدُ كُلُّهُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ كُلُّهُ. Mubarak to those hujjaj. Allah has given them and brought them to that mubarak day of Hajj. And inshallah, next year it'll be your turn, my turn, Allah knows best. But continue. keep knocking at the door. Knock at Allah's door through the medium of dua. Knock, keep knocking. Eventually, the door will open. And the door of Allah is never shut. It's never closed. Yes. We need to make the endeavor. We need to make the effort. We need to take one step forward.
Beshak, beshak. Subhanallah. Ameen. Ustaz, I don't know if Ustaz remembers last week, myself and of course Ustaz yourself, our topic was love. Love is in the air. And I was thinking this morning, you know, I woke up this morning and I'm thinking, what should we speak this morning to all the listeners? And I came across this verse, Ustaz, and I know it's a very, very deep topic, because I know all the our young sisters, our young girls, our young boys, the teens out there, they are tuning in, listening to the program as well. I was thinking of this verse, Ustaz, in para 18 in Surah Nur. I thought to myself that, when do you know it's time for you to get married? What are the steps you should take before marriage? So I came across this verse, Ustad. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithina wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat. Wal-tayyibatu lil-tayyibina wal-tayyibuna lil-tayyibat. Ulaika mubarra'una mimma yaqulun lahum maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very beautifully in the Quran. Unclean women are for unclean men. And unclean men are for unclean women. Pure women are for pure men. And pure men are for pure women. So I don't know, Ustad. That's our topic this morning, you know. Somebody said, told me that, Malana, I used to date. I dated so many times in my life. Only with four guys. Anonymous, Ustad. I made sincere toba. I carried on with my life. But my question to you, Malana Salim, is, will I get a pure husband who hasn't dated at all? So our topic this morning, Ustad, is, when do you know it's time for you to get married? What are the steps you should take before marriage? I know everybody commits zina. Everybody dates. Everybody has a girlfriend. Sometimes you don't even end up with that girlfriend. So, Ustad, inshallah, take me through this verse. Al-Khabithatu Al-Khabithina. Ji, Ustad.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون والطيبات أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم صدق الله مولانا العظيم. مولانا الله تعالى give you أجر عظيم.
آمين آمين.
This is the beauty of the Quran, you are Hafizul Quran. Sometimes these beautiful ayats just come in front of you like a flash.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And you chose such a beautiful ayat, which is in Surah Nur.
Ji, Ustad.
And it refers, the shani nuzul of this beautiful verse refers to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Mawlana, when your enemies fail to defeat you, they try every trick in the book to defame you, dishonor you. The last thing they do when they feel hopelessly is they make tohmat, they slander, they accuse the most beloved and closest to you, that is your wife, your children, and your family. We see it today happening everywhere. When those who oppose you, who hate you, who dislike you, they try every trick in the book and they fail hopelessly because you are on haq.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So the crushing blow they give to you below the belt is attack your family.
Ya Allah.
Dishonor your family. Speak ill about your family. Make ghibat about your family. When this waqia ifk is a very touching ayat, an incident that took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The more closer you are to Allah, the more the test and trial. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning. I'll just briefly for our listeners to give an idea.
Jews that.
And it'll make a lot of sense, and you'll be in tears when you end up listening to this waqia. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning from a journey, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is on the journey, and in the olden days they would travel in a coach, a hodaj. It's like a little box that they put on top of the camel and for the ladies to be seated. It had full parda around it. So alhamdulillah, the concept of hijab and parda is administered. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped at a place to make wudu and for the Sahaba and Kiram to relieve themselves. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also was traveling with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wa salam. And obviously, the camel on which Hazrat Aisha was seated was placed on the ground. It was resting. And she went to make wuzu and do whatever she had to do. And in the process, she was wearing a necklace that was borrowed from one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while making wudu and whatever had to happen, the necklace got lost. So she was looking for it. In the meantime, the Sahaba al-Kiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that let's move on, because they assumed that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala has returned and she's sitting in the carriage, in the kodaj. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba al-Kiram left thinking that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is seated in that hawjat, because it's a zaman of parda. And when Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala finished and she came to the spot where the Sahaba al-Kiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stationed themselves, she found that they have already left. She was a wise person.
Allahu Akbar.
She took a chadar and she covered herself completely and remain on the same spot. This is one good hikmah of wisdom, that if you are lost, the spot where you are, stay there, because the rescue team will come back to that spot. Great wisdom. She could have walked, she could have went in different directions looking for Rasulullah.
Haq.
But look at her thinking and wisdom. She remained on the same spot, which teaches us that in case you are lost, the spot where you are stationed, remain on that spot. Because if the rescue team has to come, they will find you there. And Rasulullah's habit was that he would leave a sahabi right in the back of the caravan. In case if anybody dropped any goods or anything, his job was to pick it up and bring it along. It happens when you're on journey. Anything can fall off the camel.
Correct.
See? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us skills that when you travel, how you should travel, that one person should guard the bag. Subhanallah. That's why Rasulullah said, when you make safar, go two people, three, four, five, make a team. And appoint an amir. When he gives an instruction, all must listen. So this sahabi, his job was to come right in the end, last. And his job was to pick up. And when he comes to the spot, and he sees Hadrat Aisha, somebody will ask, but how does he know it is Hadrat Aisha? It's before the hukum of farda. He has seen Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And look at, there is no other men there, no other person there.
Ya
the hukum
Allah.
Of farda is cover. And she had covered herself and followed Sharia. All the sahabi did was said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
Allahu Akbar.
What is this? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Aisha is left all alone. All he did was he brought his camel and he left it next to her. And she went and sat onto that camel. It also had like a coach. And he held the reins of the camel and he walked in front holding the reins of the camel. No talking, no kalam. In the meantime, Rasulullah reaches Madinatul Munawwara and they find out, where is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now worried. Where is she? She's supposed to be in that Hodaj.
Indeed. Mm.
And just then they see the Sahabi entering Medina. So the Munafiq, the enemies of Islam, found it an opportune moment to now slander Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look at Rasulullah's wife, Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, na'udhu billah min zalik. See where she's coming from and with who she's coming. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi
raji'un.
It's a great lesson. Anyway, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is emotional. And he understood what happened, but man, insan is insan.
Mm.
But Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hadrat Aisha, please go to your father's house. She is going because she doesn't know anything what has happened.
Mm.
What the munafiqs are saying. The enemies of Islam are accusing her of having something to do with the Sahabi.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
That's why Shariat says, you want to accuse somebody of any guna or zina, look for four witnesses. Those four witnesses must be male, aqil, baligh, and they must physically witness the real act of sexual relationships. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hadrat Aisha, Rasulullah is quiet, not speaking to Hadrat Aisha very much. She could sense the distance. So Rasulullah said, it's better you go to your father's house. She goes and she's crying. Hadrat Abu Bakr is crying. Hadrat Aisha's mother is crying. She is crying day and night. What happened? Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now questions are being asked too. So Rasulullah asked the Sahaba Kiram. First, Rasulullah asked Hazrat Barira radiallahu ta'ala, the Khadima of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wife Hazrat Aisha. Okay, tell me about Hazrat Aisha. Allahu Akbar. And she said the most beautiful words. Ya Rasulullah, she is such a wonderful personality. It's the time she gets tired when she needs the dough, so the goat comes and eats it sometime. That's all.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala for an opinion. He said, ya Rasulullah, if there is something like this, then I think then give Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala a talaq, let her go. She was upset with Hazrat Ali on this matter. The best one is Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala.
Khattab.
He said, ya Rasulullah, I only want to ask you one question. Who made your nikah? And who asked you to marry Hazrat Aisha radiallahu
anha?
I only want one answer. And Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Rabbul Alameen. Allah Ta'ala chose her. Allah Ta'ala showed me an image of her. Green silk cloth. With Allah's instruction, I married Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she used to always make fakhr ki mera jo rishta hai, Allah Ta'ala ne karaya hai. My proposal, Allah Rabbul Alameen made for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, ya Rasulullah, do you think that Allah Ta'ala chose the best of best for you? Allah will give you somebody as a wife who would do something that is wrong, can never happen. Almost 1 month goes back. It's a long walk here. Hazrat Aisha is crying. Umme Mista, she was also a khadima of Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. One day Aisha was crying. She was weak. She was dehydrated. She was taking her to the toilet and she slipped. And she said, Ta'isa, Mista, that may Allah curse Mista. So she, Hadrat Aisha said, how can you curse your son? So she said, you didn't hear what he is saying. Sometimes innocent people get drawn into the controversy, Mulana. Here is Umme Mista, the mother, and Mista is one of the Sahaba. He also got drawn into this, that he looks like there's something happened here. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. For 1 month, so she asked Umme Mista, why, what happened? What are they talking about me? She said, well, this is what transpired, and this is what he said about you. That made Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala more emotional because she is absolutely innocent. She has no idea. For 1 month, she cried to Allah day and night, crying to Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے, او عائشہ اگر غلطی ہو گئی تو اللہ سے معافی مانگو, اف میڈ اے مسٹیک آسک اللہ فور فورگیونس. شی سے یا رسول اللہ آئی ایم انوسنٹ. آفٹر ون منتھ اللہ تعالیٰ ریویلز دس آیت, الخبیثات
للخبیثین. اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر اللہ اکبر.
The general rule of Allah is okay, an unchaste man will marry an unchaste woman. الخبیثات للخبیثین, and an unchaste woman will marry an unchaste man. والطیبات للطیبین, and a chaste woman will marry a chaste man. وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلطَّيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ, and a chaste man will marry a chaste woman. And the most beautiful, you can have the best lawyer in the world, people will still have criticism. Allah Rabbul Alameen is the wakil. Allah is the lawyer. Allah is the judge for Hazrat Aisha. أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون. يا رسول الله, حضرت عائشة is 100% innocent. لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. Those who made a mistake, Allah Ta'ala forgive them. But حضرت عائشة رضي الله تعالى is innocent. This ayat is revealed. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there by Hadrat Aisha, Hadrat Abu Bakr, everyone is there. When wahi is to come on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is to cover his face and perspiration would drip from the beautiful face of Rasulullah. The power and force of wahi. And when this ayat was revealed, Allah Pak has made Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala bari and proven her innocence to the whole world till the day of Qiyamah. So the father and mother says to Hazrat Aisha, Betty, go and greet Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, is a maqam of naz. You see, when you ta'alluq with Allah, he is so great that you become oblivious of the people around you. So the parents are telling her that it's time for happiness and joy now. Allah has cleared your name. Go up to Rasulullah. He said, I won't go. I'm going to my Rabb to thank him. This is naz. Not that she's being disobedient. It's just a maqam of naz, you know. That no, I'm not going to go to Rasulullah sallallahu. I'm going back to my Rabb to thank him. See? So yes, Murana, this is a great lesson that we must learn. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتقو موازع التهم. Stay far away from places where you're going to be accused. Well, if you see my car in front of a club.
Indeed, Ustad. Definitely.
See, I'm innocently parked there. Maybe there's a tea room next door or a restaurant. I went there for something. But my car is parked in front of a club. What will ordinary people think about me? Oh, Mulana's car is parked in the front of the club. He's inside. I'm talking to my wife, maybe. I'm talking to my mahram. Somebody sees me and says, look at Mulana, he's talking to that woman. He's got no sharam in him. Look at him. It happened during Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifetime. At night, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met one of his wives and he was talking to them. And a sahabi went to walk past. Rasulullah called that sahabi and said, please, let me just clear one thing with you. I'm not talking to a strange woman. I'm talking to my wife.
Ya Allah.
So Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, why put yourself in a place, a compromising situation, a compromising place, when you can avoid it? So yes, Mulana, that was a little tafsir of that ayat that you read. And I just love that ayat.
Allahu Akbar.
I just love that ayat. You know, it just teaches us so many lessons. That is why compatibility. Yes, Mulana, you'll normally find a prostitute, she will look for a man who's a loose man. Or a loose man, you'll find him with a prostitute or a call girl. See? But it's sad today that we leave our pious, pure virgin wives at home and we go and seek for filth. It's so sad.
So, Ustad, can I pose a question to you? I see I already got four questions here, mashallah. Listeners are asking the questions. I want to ask Ustad, maybe Ustad can guide me. Say, you quoted this verse, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin. Say, in my days, I used to kiss a lot of girls. I used to kiss only a lot of girls. The question to you, Ustad, is that, will I get a husband as well who used to kiss a lot of girls? I used to kiss a lot of girls. So the question is, will I get a husband also who used to kiss a lot of girls? Ustad.
Mawlana, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much of sharam and haya. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, Rasulullah's hands were soft as silk.
Mm-hmm.
But never did Rasulullah in his whole life touch the hand of a ghair mahram.
Mm.
You touch any part of a ghair mahram, Allah will make it sure that that part of your body will burn in the fire of Jahannam.
Allah. Mm-hmm.
So whether you kissed her, whether you touched her, or you fondled her, or you did haram with her. This is the height of sharam and haya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, four things are the sunnah of Anbiya, one of it is haya. So the sister is, or the brother that's asking the question. And remember, if you are going to commit zina, if you're not going to keep yourself as the man of the house, chaste, basharam, he must have modesty in him, then don't expect your wife and children to be the saints. Because somewhere along the line, I'm the father, I'm the husband, I'm sleeping around, I'm making zina, left, right, and center, and going. It will happen so that the evil, the napaki and nuhusat of the act will impact on my wife and my children.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
And it will also lead them sometime in their life to commit zina. Maybe not in your lifetime, maybe your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will do it. And you'll hold your head and cry, this was such a pious family. There was never a question of zina.
Mm.
How did it happen? You know, this is the other thing, Mawlana. You know, we go to the jewelry shop. I'm going to talk to these ladies and the shoe shop. MashaAllah, the ladies, MashaAllah, quickly put their hands, they can put the, what you call, bangles in my hand. You went to the jewelry shop, Mawlana?
Ji, Ustad, ji.
Yeah, MashaAllah. Those men are very lucky in one way.
Mm.
But they have to be also be careful. That sister or that man needs to be very careful. A ghair mahram is holding the sister's hand, is forcing the bangles. See? The day you touch a ghair mahram's hand, you commit zina or any factor that leads to zina, that's the day you will notice that your wife is also disobedient. Your daughters are disobedient to you. Your sons are disobedient to you. Your workers are disobedient to you. And the animals that you own also are disobedient to you. Gunam-e nuhusat. You go, mashallah, you'll find, mashallah, the ladies in parda also. They are in parda, subhanallah. Bring a female staff, alhamdulillah. Yes, sell your jewelry, sell your whatever you want. But get a female staff, not a male. Number two, we go to the shoe shop, Mawlana. The attendant that is serving the sisters is who? Most of the time it's men.
It's men.
Sometimes it's ladies. MashaAllah, that man is holding the feet. He's holding the ankles. He's pushing the shoes.
Astaghfirullah.
Mawlana, you in your own life will never allow another man to touch your wife.
Never.
Forget touching her feet. But we consider it nothing, Mawlana. We are making guna so openly. Guna ko kar kamal samajhti hai. So inshallah, if you go to a shoe shop, please can you ask for a female assistant to help you buy the shoe? Alhamdulillah. Let the female attendant attend to you. Why the male? You have a right? Our Kabiri, when they used to go to hospital, Mawlana, most of the nurses are female. But alhamdulillah, they have respect. There was one nurse, one great alim, I can't recall the name. She should see all the people coming to make dua and make ziyarat of the person, that alim that was sick. And she saw that even when the ladies came, they had their head covered. She had so much of respect that whenever she came to administer the medication, she would put a scarf and come to see the alim and give him his medication. So one of our ways, our sharam and haya gone. So coming back to the point of the sister asking that if my husband kissed, or the wife kissed, or I get somebody like that, will do that. Allah knows best. But if the person made tawbah and istighfar, yes, inshallah, you make dua to Allah, okay, Allah grant me a pious husband or pious wife. Whatever gunas we made, we were dating, we committed zina, we had affairs, we did so many things that was haram. Yes, you must have a lot of remorse in you. That I made a big mistake. I shouldn't have done these things. I was influenced by shaitan and my nafs and my lust. Oh Allah, I'm making sincere tawbah. Yes, when you make sincere tawbah, at-ta'ibu habibullah, the person who makes sincere tawbah, forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So Ustaz, the question is, if the person committed zina before marriage, will his wife be a virgin or not, Ustaz? That's the question that's coming in. Somebody says here, as a guy, I am from varsity. I'm listening to you guys' program. I'm 33 years old. Sorry about that. I committed zina many a times. In fact, my friends, that's what the brother is saying. In fact, my friends in varsity, we used to compete which girls we're going to sleep with, Maulana Salim. So the problem is, I really want to get married now, Maulana Salim. But will I get a virgin girl? I was naive when in varsity. I didn't know all this, Ustad.
Well, no, that's a lame excuse.
Indeed.
To know that.
Yes,
I didn't
Ustad.
Know. That's not being fair. Well, now we know from a Sharia point of view that zina is haram, to touch another girl or a woman is haram. And he's talking about competition.
Astaghfirullah.
So that shows he's habitual in what he was doing. Gunah par israr kar rahe the. But it's a good point. That never mind, he's realized his mistake, Maulana. At least he's acknowledging his mistakes. He's asking Allah for forgiveness. He's trying to better his life. He wants Allah to give him a wife that is a virgin. You know, again now, the concept of virginity, Maulana, what is virginity in Islam?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men, a lot of husbands got a whole misconception. We need to talk about this maybe on another occasion, Maulana. But the question here is, when you talk about virginity in a male, means that never in his life, from the day he got baligh till the day he gets married, that he had been ever intimate with a woman. Or likewise, a woman, from the day she became baligh till the day she made nikah, the first person that ever touched her or been intimate with her is going to be her husband. That's a virgin. So now, whether Allah is going to give him a virgin wife, he must make dua. If he has made sincere tawbah, he's reformed, he's changed his life, he's acknowledged his mistake, he's made firm azam, Allah, I'm not going to repeat the guna ever again. Most probably, Rabbul Alameen will give him a pious wife.
But I think, Ustad, I think it's unfair because there are guys out there, young guys out there, that they want to date, they want to have an affair, they want to sleep with girls. And when the time to come to get married, they want to make sincere tawbah and they want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a virgin girl. I mean, that's not on. Somebody says here, Maulana Salim, I need some advice from you. I was the Casanova of my time. But I see every girl, I see every girl I went to see for marriage, they're all saying no, because I was the Casanova of that time. I mean, it's unfair, Maulana Salim. Wherever I'm going now, all the girls are saying no, no, no. What does the brother do, Ustad?
Maulana, first and foremost, he has to take the responsibility for his mistake.
Yes.
I mean, trying to be this Mr., what would you call him, you know?
Casanova.
The fool of the time, I can sleep in bed any woman that I want. This is the curse that Allah will also, it's a form of punishment. See, that you broke the laws of Allah. The worst crime that you can commit is zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَعِشَا. The person who commits zina, Maulana, whether it's a male or female, you can see the curse of Allah on their face. The nur of Allah, the nur of iman is gone from their face. If they don't make tawbah. Many times the sisters say, Maulana, my husband is having an affair. What must I do? I said, your duty is to sit on the musalla and make dua ki Allah cleanse his heart and protect his private parts. That's from the spiritual side. Ki Allah protect my husband or protect my son or protect my daughter. If you know as a mother, my daughter is up to mischief. Make dua to Allah, get up at tahajjud time and beg Allah, Rabbul Alameen, I failed in my duty as a mother, as a father, to instill tarbiyat in my child. Your child is your child, even if they become grandfathers too. As a father or as a mother, you're supposed to be reprimanding them if they are wrong. Correcting them, even if they are married, they got children, they got grandchildren. But if the father is still alive, he has a hak to reprimand his son.
Allahu Akbar. 15 minutes, Gigi.
He's going now and nobody is giving him. Obviously, Mona, the news spreads, obviously. Who would want to now chance and give their daughter, knowing the past history of that individual? So he's cut his own feet, Mona. He shot himself on the foot.
So, Ustad, can we say, that's why you mentioned the verse, Al-Khabithatu Lil-Khabithin. Can we say that does this fall into that verse? Because whatever we do in the past, to start, now when we want to get married, we want everything pure. We want everything, you know. The sister says here, she says, to all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, I am from Lodium. Ustad, you have to listen to this one. You know, I am from Lodium. I'm now 24 years old. I am a grade A student. I used to study a lot and read a lot of books, Maulana Salim. I was in a library with my study group friends. But to cut the story short, somehow a person started making my name bad and accusing me of committing zina with one of my friends. And this message spread throughout of the entire Lodium. And because of this, nobody wants to propose to me, Ustad. Everyone says I'm a loose bicycle. Please, I need advice urgently. I fear my Allah. I would never do such a thing. Ya Allah, Ustad. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah ila aliyyil azim.
Allah make it easy for the sister, Mulana. As I said earlier on, you know, sometimes our actions brings about certain reactions. The mere fact that you were in the presence of a person, and I'm sure she's talking about a male person that was in the library.
Ji, Ustad. Correct.
Okay. And I just said to you earlier on a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah, that stay away from places where you can be falsely accused. Okay. She must have been very clear in the sense that I'm studying here. Oh, I'm discussing. Though that is not right also, inshallah, wherever there's a male and female, the third person to make fitna is shaitan.
Of course,
it can be Rabia Basriya or Hassan Basriya. Ji, the pious of pious can be seated together. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a male and a female is in alone together with each other, shaitan will make sure that some form of zina will take place. So first and foremost, she has to acknowledge that what I did was wrong. But it does not give the other people the right to accuse her, because the guna will be on their head. Because that's not the truth. Yes, she made a mistake. She shouldn't have been in close proximity with the man or the boy that she was studying with. But this is the society that we live in today. I just don't like you. All I need to do is to ignite something. So let's take a lesson that, inshallah, for the future, whatever happens, let us not put ourselves in a compromising situation. As much as my niyat is clear, but take the ahadiths of Rasulullah into consideration, that stay away and try avoid being with a woman alone. Then, inshallah, they will be khair. But for the public and the people, whoever they are, judging her and saying that she is a loose bicycle, unfortunately, they will have to pay for the gunas of making ghibah and slandering an innocent girl.
Ustad, I see you're breaking a butt. I can't hear you, Ustad. If Ustad could maybe just walk a butt, Ustad.
Okay, Ji, Mulana.
Ji, I can hear you now. Can hear you loud and clear, Ji, Ustad.
Ji, I was saying that, inshallah, it is wrong for the people to judge her. She is, in a way, innocent, that she didn't do anything as far as committing zina or sleeping around. Yes, she was found or she was sitting with somebody who was a ghair mahram, which is in terms of Shariat incorrect. So it has consequences, Mawlana. As the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to not be in privacy with a female, because the third party is shaitan to make fitna and cause lots of haram acts to take place.
I see the listeners are saying that they want the podcast of this. They want Maulana Salim Karim's email address. Somebody says here, please, Maulana Arafat, don't mention my name. It says here, I lost my virginity while studying in overseas. It happened, and how it happened, don't ask me. I'm reading the question, Ustad. But my question is, Ustad, Doesn't everyone want a pure partner before marriage? This is anonymous sister. Ustad, how do we guide her, Ustad?
Okay, first and foremost, again, I go back that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that no female should make suffer without a mahram.
Beshak, Ustad.
One. Number two, as parents, as much as you desire to attain degrees, Islam doesn't stop women from being progressive. We need best lawyers, doctors, gynecologists, we need psychologists, we need psychiatrists, we need nurses, we need doctors, we need everything. But alhamdulillah, with modern technology, certain of our studies can be done from home. And out of necessities, you have to go to a university for practical lessons. Obviously, you have to go with the mahram. Some arrangements can be made. But this is, Mawlana, this is what happens when you're all alone. Shaitan, you see, an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
Indeed.
One. Number two, Mawlana, we become so vulnerable. Mawlana, there are sweet charmers out there. Mawlana, they can play the flute very well. You understand what I'm saying, Mawlana? Gee, I'm innocent. I'm strong as a rock, Mawlana. But you just need somebody just to say the right words and tick the right boxes for me. And yeah, I'm gone. My whole izzat is gone. My respect is gone. See, the sister is acknowledging she made a mistake. She's right. Her joy would have been that the day I get married, I can present to my husband and say, yeah, I am as Allah wanted me to be.
Ustad, you're saying there are sweet talkers out there. I mean, we can we can decide that for ourselves. I don't know, Ustad. The mother says here, Mawlana Salim. You just speaking about sweet talkers. So I'm just thinking of this, Ustad. My daughter, she's going for driving lessons. She's 19 years old, and the guy is 40, but he's married. Is that wrong or not? The mother wants to know. Should I stop it immediately? Now, you just speak about sweet talkers. Maybe the guy could sweet talk to her. I don't know, Ustad. Guide me.
Well, I had a case, one of the sisters, she's 18 years old. She went with a driving school instructor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sake of giving her instructions, he's tapping her on her thighs.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
He's sake of saying, look ahead, inshallah, or correcting her. He's touching her thighs. Mawlana.
Astaghfirullah.
Inna lillahi. I don't want to go further and discuss whatever else happened. I'm not going to say that now on air.
Astaghfirullah.
Stop the driving lesson right now. Allahu look for a female Akbar. Instructor.
Allahu Akbar.
The sharam and haya and modesty. I mean, close proximity of a driver. Mawlana, you ever saw a small van, a 1400 baki, Mawlana? You're sitting virtually next to the. Your thighs is touching our thighs.
Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la astaghfirullah.
What are we doing, Mawlana? Where's our sharam and haya? And what guarantee we got? Even if you have guarantees, it's haram. One. Number two, we'll say, okay, somebody will debate with me that, why is it necessary for women to drive? Out of necessity sometime. See? Alhamdulillah. I'm not saying gallivanting in the malls with your BMW or whatever, through sunglasses and doing all that funny things. I'm saying absolute necessity sometime. You need to go to a doctor. You need to pick your child up from the preschool or madrasa or whatever it is. A husband is out of town. I don't expect another ghair mahram to go and pick my child up, somebody who I don't know. I'm saying out of necessity.
I agree with you, Ustad.
Then look for a female instructor, Mawlana. We have an alternative. Why go for haram? So can you imagine now? I'm saying, Mawlana, living example. She said to me, Mawlana, he's touching my thighs. He's holding my hand. And he's telling her all the stories about his wife. How difficult it is, and she's old, and she's like this. What is he trying to do, Mawlana?
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
And Mawlana, I know that, okay, some of the driving instructors have got to, look, yeah. No problem. You do what I want from you, I'll get your license for you. Yeah.
No way, Ustad. No way.
Mawlana, you don't know, it's a vicious world out there sometimes. I'm not saying everywhere and everybody is doing this, but it's a vicious world out there. So that's the answer I will give, Mawlana. Tell the mother to stop the driving lessons immediately and look for a female instructor, inshallah.
I see Umi Kulsum from Azadwal is listening to us. She says, my sheikh told us that we women shouldn't drive. So what should we do? But I think women should drive, Ustad. As you said, out of necessity. Ustad, I don't know.
Alhamdulillah, she should listen to her sheikh if she feels that, alhamdulillah, that's how he wants it. And fine, he's within his rights, alhamdulillah. I'm talking about absolute necessity.
Yes.
If I got everybody who drives in my house, I don't have to go for license. Alhamdulillah, I have my son, my daughter. Now, what am I going to go and get the license for? You look at the demand and the necessity. This is an opinion. It's not a fatwa I'm giving you, so nobody can hold that against me.
Indeed,
that
indeed.
We are promoting that women should go for driving licenses. I'm not saying that.
Mm. 5 minutes to 12 o'clock, Ustad. Somebody says here, how are you, Molana? Do not mention my name, requesting for du'as for me to get married, especially for the sake of my kids. My small son cries or gets upset because he wants me to get married. At times, he messages me from his phone saying, Papa, please get married. I want a mommy here. Molana Salim, please advise me. Ustad.
Allah.
Ya Allah.
See, who are the victims of divorce?
Ya Allah, ya Allah.
You know, this sometimes really irks me that both husband and wife are absolutely selfish in certain circumstances. That those masoom children are suffering. Our personal differences and our ego overrides everything. And who's suffering inside? Manana, you must see those children, how they cry. In their bedroom sometime, the door is closed and shut, they are crying. Either crying for the mother, either crying for them, for the father. You ask them, what do you want? Whenever there's a divorce settlement or divorce issue, I call the children also in the end. I said, tell me what you all want. Mana, it brings tears to your eyes when you see a four-year-old child say, Mana, I want my mummy and daddy to be together. Mana, it's very heartbreaking. You know, even if your heart is a rock, you'll shed tears. So again, look at the child. I mean, what have they done? Somewhat they could have mended this relationship, Mulana. Just don't rush for divorce, for Allah's sake. As somebody said, marriage is grand. Marriage is grand. And divorce is 100 grand. How many thousands and millions of rand we fight in the court, Mulana? Especially when we married in a community of property, which is totally un-Islamic. Totally un-Islamic. What is community of property? It means I'm registered, my marriage is registered according to South African law. The end result is that if there is a divorce or a separation, I have the right for half my husband's estate or half my wife's possession. Well, one sister said, well, you know, I don't worry. I keep getting divorced and I just get all the shares coming to me. Sharia says, what is yours is yours. What is his
See? Somebody says, Ustad, before we terminate the program, Mulana Salim Karim, very true words of wisdom. Marriage is grand. My husband is a humanizer. I have 4 kids in total. I am an alim, Mulana Salim, but I won't leave my marriage. I won't break my marriage because of this, what my husband is doing. But what I'll do, I will finish his last cent and I will still be in this marriage. This is a sister. She says, I will finish every cent of his. But I mean, I don't know, Ustad.
See, Mana, see what it drives you.
Ya Allahu Akbar, astaghfirullah.
Mana, you want to end it here. You know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day in the bazaar. And this is ta'aleem for the ummah. That Rasulullah accidentally, unintentionally, a lady passed by. Rasulullah immediately went home and fulfilled his conjugal rights with his wife. And Nabi of Allah will never commit a guna. Never. But this is ta'aleem for the ummah of Rasulullah. That sometimes you go into the bazaar and unintentionally, your gaze falls on a very pretty woman or lady. It may arouse you. It may arouse you. What must you do? Go home and fulfill your conjugal rights with your wife. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that happened, he came home, he fulfilled his conjugal rights. And when he came for salah time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's zulf was dripping with water. Sahaba kiram said, Ya Rasulullah, aapne ghusl farmaya. And then Rasulullah explained and said, whatever that woman had and has. Allah has kept the same parts in my wife. Ona is just aako ka dhoka hai. You know, you have long shot, long vision lens, short vision lens, you zoom, it's the same thing. See? Am I right, Munana?
100% Ustad, correct.
The object correct. Is the same thing. But I want to see it big, I want to see it small, I zoom in, zoom out, wide angle, side angle. What must I explain, Munana? The point what I'm trying to make here is that Allah Ta'ala has given us an avenue that if you feel aroused, Allah has given you a halal partner and a halal way to fulfill your conjugal rights. Because the lady out there has the same what Allah has given to your wife.
Ustaz, we're going to leave it there, inshallah. Definitely, we will continue tomorrow, part two, on the bliss of marriage. I see questions are still coming in. So, inshallah, Ustaz, we will continue tomorrow, inshallah. Ustaz, is that fine with you?
Jazakallah.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very, very sad indeed, seeing what's happening around the ummah of our beloved noble master, Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa Janab, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We leave you and love you. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Brother Alphus Nkosi.